Moments with Moses, episode 5. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Number 1, the war. Number 2, the word. And number 3, the way. On the southern wall of the Sistine Chapel in Vatican City in Rome, you will find a collection of frescoes attributed to Cosimo Rosselli. It's all about the crossing of the Red Sea with Moses, the leader of the children of Israel. The drama and the dread, the fear and the faith, the storm and the calm, the life and the death are captured in that fresco. I remind you, 600,000 men, 2.5 million people in total, have now been delivered from the house of bondage. Remember the plagues. Remember the Passover. Remember the power of the Lord. Remember the blood of the Lamb. Remember how they've come out of Egypt with treasure. And they are now free. The pillar of cloud leads them by day. It will protect them from the burning heat of the sun. The pillar of fire guards them by night, keeping them warm in the cold, protecting them from wild animals. And God is leading his people. Of course, this event mentioned in the book of Exodus is mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. You can't be a student of the Bible and ignore this passage. Just a few. In the book of Joshua, chapter 2 and chapter 4. In the book of Psalms, in Psalm 66 and Psalm 78 and Psalm 106 and Psalm 136. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 63. In the New Testament it is referred to. Old and New Testament combine to speak of this great dramatic event in Israel's history. And here we are. There is a war without a shadow of a doubt. Can you imagine being led by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire? Those of you who want guidance in your life, all you got to do is look up, follow the cloud. If it goes left, you go left. If it goes right, you go right. If it goes forward, you go forward. If it goes backwards, you go backwards. And now they're told in chapter 14, verse 1, to back up. And they're going east. Make camp at Pi Hahiroth, in front of Baal Zephon, facing the sea. In front of them, the sea. To the north, fortresses of the enemies. To the south, a blazing, inhospitable desert. To the west, Egypt. So literally, they are now in the most vulnerable place that they could possibly be in. And God has led them there. Literally in a cul-de-sac. In the jaws of death. Trapped and with no way out. And we know this is a war because Pharaoh is now on the warpath. And God's people are trapped. And God's people are terrified. Listen to what the Bible says. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people. And they said, "What is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his army with him and took 600 chosen chariots and all other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them and encamped at the sea by Pi-Hahiroth in front of Baal Zephon. Can you picture that scene? Pharaoh, who'd been grief-stricken, is now in the rage stage. What have I done? What have we done? Look at our land. Our land is ravished. Look at my nation. My nation is in mourning. Look at all the public works that were being done by these slaves. All my free labor has now gone. We're in complete economic and social and political and emotional and spiritual chaos. But there's hope. Their God has led them to a trap. I want revenge. This is all out war. Prepare the chariots. Call the captains. Equip the cavalry. Call in the army. Get the horses. They are trapped. We shall now declare war like never before upon this people. The war. God's people trapped and terrified when they hear the rumble and they see the dust and they see that coming is Pharaoh's army. What have you done, Moses? Why have you brought us here, Moses? We would have been better off dying in Egypt. There's no way out for us. And the Bible says they were very afraid, terrified, and trapped. Pharaoh's command is simple. Pursue. Attack. Destroy. And bring back. Number two, we have the word. Because now Moses, the servant of the Lord, the prophet of God, this man who'd complained that he could not speak, this man who trembled and wanted to back out of ever leading God's people, inspired by the living God, holding his rod, says these words to the people of God who are trapped and terrified. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." Can you picture this scene? In the midst of all the chaos now amongst God's people who are terrified and trapped, there is a man who is calm. In amidst all this panic, this is it. There's nowhere else to go. There is a man who is poised, filled with the Spirit of God, inspired to speak the word of God. He will say to the people, "Fear not. Do not fear." The acronym for fear, F-E-A-R. False expectations appearing real. Somehow, some way, he knew that acronym. For the false expectations appeared real. He believed that God was in control and not Pharaoh. Look what he says. Stand still. Be calm. Be still and know that God is God. That he rules in the armies of heaven, amongst the inhabitants of the earth. No one can stay his hand. No one can say, what are you doing? The God who delivered us through the plagues will deliver us now. Stand still. And look up. Don't look around. Don't look behind. Don't look to the side. Don't look at each other. Don't look at the waves. Don't look at yourself, or inside yourself, or at your fears. Look up, because here is a promise. The Lord will fight for you. This battle is not ours. This battle is his. This victory will not be ours. This victory will be his. So be silent. Close your mouth. Still your mind. Let God be God. What a word from the leader. Fear not. Stand still. Look up. Be silent. When you are in a real difficult place, when you are in an impossible situation, when you're between the devil and the deep red sea, when you're in the between a rock and a hard place, when everything that could go wrong is going wrong, listen, fear not, stand still, look up, be silent. Let God be God. Number three, we have the way. And here's what the Lord now says to Moses and to the people. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was a cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Tell the people to go forward. Tell them to go in faith, in unity, in purpose, and to victory. Lift up your rod. Exercise faith again in the living God, the faith who delivered through the plagues. And tell my people to move forward, to step out in faith, believing that I am God and there is none beside. And go in unity, with one mind and one heart and one will. How important would that be? None of you to be left behind. All of us are to go. Eyes fixed upon the Lord who fights for us. And go with purpose, expecting God to deliver you. Keeping your eyes fixed, not upon the waters, nor upon the seabed, certainly not upon the Egyptians, but upon the Lord. And go forward to victory, because the Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more. Amazing. What a drama. What a picture. The pillar of fire goes behind. The pillar of cloud. All those pictures and symbols and emblems. The huge sound of a roaring east wind, supernatural. The raising of the waters to a corridor, to a wall. The drying of the seabed. The stepping by faith. The walking out by faith and in unity and in purpose. Then the sound of the crashing waves. And the victory which is secured in the name of the Lord. Take these lessons home with you. Lesson number one. The God of the Bible is the God who does miracles. You cannot take the supernatural out of the Bible. I remind you that according to the theologians who have taken the person or characteristics or attributes of God, they describe God as infinite, without measurement, without boundary, without beginning, without end, without restriction, eternal, ageless and timeless and deathless, immutable, changeless. These are the other attributes of God. That he is omnipotent. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The God of the Bible is the God who does miracles. Someone wrote, if you start with the statement that miracles are impossible, then of course they are. But remember, that is just a statement. It is not an argument. And by definition, the supernatural is outside of the natural. A miracle, by definition, goes beyond the ability of science to explain. So says John Blanchard, therefore, beyond the ability of science to disprove. And the Bible is ablaze with miracles. And the greatest miracle, of course, is that God became man in the person of his Son, lived the life we could never live, died the death we deserved to die, rose again the third day, ascended into heaven, is sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and is secured for us a salvation which is miraculous, which is supernatural. The God of the Bible is the God who does miracles. Number two, the God of the Bible is the God who guides his people. Don't you? I certainly do. Wish there was a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire as we wrestle with trying to discern the particular will of God for our own particular lives. It would be much easier if there was just some flash in the sky to say, go this way, marry this person, do this, do that, go there. Do you know the promises of God are true? This is our God forever and forever, and he is our guide even unto death. He is the God who leads his people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Number three, he is the God who protects his people. He protected his people. All through this journey, and certainly through this passage through the sea. You know, the Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every voice raised against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. He is the God who protects his people. He is above us as our covering. He is below us as our net. He is behind us as our rear guard. He's before us as our guide. He's beside us as our friend. He's within us as our Savior and our God. He will protect his people. A sovereign protector have I, unseen yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. You can trust God to protect you even when you don't see it, feel it, think it, or know it. For he is not only omnipotent, he is omniscient. He knows what we don't know. He sees what we don't see. And he will protect his people. Number four, he is the God who delivers his people. He delivered them. Yes, he did. As they stood on the seashore and saw the waves cascade over the Egyptians, they will see the Egyptians no more. He has delivered his people. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he spoke about that passage through the Red Sea as being a picture of baptism, as being a picture of a man or a woman being in saving union with Jesus Christ in his life, in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. He delivers his people. These miracles in Egypt are not the greatest miracles ever. The greatest miracle is that my eyes, your eyes, have been opened to the truth. Our ears unstopped, our hearts quickened, brought from darkness to life, from death to life, from the power of Satan unto God, and brought into saving union with Jesus Christ in his life, in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, in his ascension, and in his glory. He's the God who delivers his people. And number five, he is the God who tells his people to go forward. Go forward. Go forward in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. Lord, increase my faith. Help me see the invisible, hear the inaudible, believe for the impossible. Go forward in unity. Where the people of God dwell together in unity, there the Lord commands the blessing, even life forevermore. And go forward in purpose. Take risks. They took risks, didn't they? Absolutely they did. Yes, they were calculated risks based upon the omnipotence of God, but they were risks. I remind you, a Christian living and Christian ministry is not risk-free. Life is a risk. Love is a risk. Adventure is a risk. Progress is a risk. Discovering God's will is a risk. Dreaming is a risk. Building is a risk. They were told, quit fretting. Quit fearing. And take a risk. Step out. I love the story of David Livingstone. Remember that Scotsman who discovered the Victoria Falls, Zambia, among many other things he discovered. Remember, he's buried in Westminster Abbey. This is what he said. Without Christ, not one step. With him, anywhere. I determined never to stop until I had come to the end of my purpose. I will go anywhere. as long as it is forward. Go forward in your faith. Go forward in unity. Go forward in purpose. Take some risks. Don't let safety become your God with a small g. And ask and say, I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. What is on your heart? You tell me what to do. Let me know your will and I will follow you. Whatever it costs. Wherever you send. Whenever you please. To whomever you will. No compromise. Hear what God says by His Spirit to the church. Of course, if you go to Llangollen, to the Eisteddfod, you'll find groups of men and groups of women singing in wonderful harmony. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. Strong deliverer, strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Make sure you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your strength and shield. And cry out for that greatest of miracles, whereby Jesus said to Nicodemus, steeped in religion, you must be born again. Let's stand and sing.